The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Yisro. In Parshas Yisro, we have the Aseres HaDibros, the 10 commandments. One of those commandments is Zohar Eshema Shabbos Lekatshoi, that you should remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify it. Sheish Yomim Tavoid Vosisa Kol Malachtecho, 6 days you shall work and you shall do all of your necessary work. V'yema Shvi Shabbos Hashem Lekecho, and on the seventh day is a day of rest to Hashem. V'yisasa Kol Malocho, you shall not do any work. Ato Yivinko Vitecho Abdecho Vamoscho Ubehemtecho, you or your son or your daughter, your servant, your maidservant, your animal, and the stranger, the convert, who's in your gates. Because for 6 days, the Almighty worked to create the heavens and the earth. The sea and all that is in it. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore he blessed the seventh day, he blessed the Shabbos, and he sanctified it. Now, Shabbos is one of the cardinal mitzvahs of the Torah. It's something that's very close to all of us. It's a mitzvah that comes not just once a year, but every week. And also, it has the distinct classification where the Gemara refers to it as a matono, a gift. Mitzvahs, in general, were not a gift. Mitzvahs were commands. They were given as a command to a person. But when the Almighty gave Shabbos to Klal Yisrael, he told them that I have a great gift in my treasure house, which I want to give to you. And its name is Shabbos. Let's spend this evening seeing if we can gain some insights into the depth of Shabbos. The Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, are written twice in the Torah, Parshas Yisro and Parshas Voschanan, in Sefer Dvorim. Why? Because they were given twice. They were given on the sixth day of Sivan, on Shavuos, and then they were given on Yom Kippur, because the first tablets, when Moshe came down and he found the golden calf, he broke them. And then he went up, and we had all of the aliyahs and the yeridas, the going up and the coming down, until finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Ten Commandments again. So since they were given twice, they are written twice in the Torah. In all aspects, though, they are not written exactly the same. One particular aspect that we're interested in this evening is, in our Ten Commandments, it states, Zohar Hashem HaShabbos Lekatshoi, that you shall remember Shabbos to sanctify it. In Parshas Voschanan, which is in Dvorim Hei, Pasuk Yud Beis, there it states, Shomer Hashem HaShabbos Lekatshoi. Not Zohar, you shall remember, but Shomer, you shall guard the day of Shabbos to sanctify it. Zohar, here, and there, Shomer. Rashi brings Zohar v'shomer b'dibor echo nemru. It's not that they were given differently. What is written in one set was written in the second set. But when the Almighty said the word Zohar, he said two words, Zohar and Shomer. You shall remember and you shall guard. Except he said it at one time. And this is something which a human being cannot do. So both Zohar and Shomer was said at the exact time. When it came to writing them, then in order for us they cannot be written simultaneously. Therefore, in the first commandments they were written Zohar, and in the second commandments they were written Shomer. Then Rashi tells us
that we find this in other places also. This dual character here. And he quotes a few other places, in particular in regards to Shabbos. And there's a Medrash which says, "Kol inyon de Shabbos kofel." Shabbos in general is double, like we see from Shomor, Zohar v'Shomor. Another aspect is we see that when the Torah admonished us not to desecrate the Shabbos, it was in a dual language. Another example brought is Shnei Ksovim. The sacrifice of Shabbos were two sheep. So from here the Medrash tells us, Kol inyono kofel, that by Shabbos we see there is this dual character. This is a Medrash in Shochetov, Mem Zayin Sadik Beis. So this is one important aspect that needs explanation. In general, the Gemara tells us, what does Shomer teach us and what does Zohar teach us? Shomer means to guard, that you shall guard Shabbos from becoming desecrated. So this refers to the Leisase Kol Melocho, that we are not allowed to do work on Shabbos. Work is not how we define it. Work is how the Torah defines it, how the Almighty defined it. There might be some things that we would consider as work, and that's permissible on Shabbos. There are other things that we might not consider permissible, consider as work, and that's forbidden. And on that, the Mishnah and the Gemara teaches us that there are 39 units of work which are forbidden on Shabbos. And this is what the Leisase Kol Malocha refers to, that you shall not do work. And through this, this desecrates the Shabbos. And therefore the Torah said, Shomer, that you shall guard Shabbos. Shomer means to guard it from becoming desecrated. What does Zohar mean? You shall remember Shabbos. Shomer is in the negative sense. Zohar is in the positive sense. Rashi here brings from the Gemara in Beitza Daf Tes Zayin, Tenu leiv lizkor tomi deshema Shabbos. Remember all the time Shabbos. If you come across something which is very nice, you should say, Zula Shabbos, this is for Shabbos. Save it for Shabbos. And in that way, you're remembering for Shabbos. You come across a nice article of food or a nice article of clothing and so forth. So you say, this is for Shabbos. And the Gemara also explains to us that what we make, what we call Kiddush, that's from the mitzvah of Zohar. You must remember Shabbos. You must make a declaration that today is Shabbos. How do we declare that it's Shabbos? By making Kiddush. In this way, we are specifying that this day is different than the other days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they're all chol. See, they all belong to the secular week. But Shabbos is special. And that's the mitzvah of Zohar. Remember Shabbos to make it special. Use special things. Set aside special things. Make Kiddush on Shabbos. So therefore Zohar is in the positive sense to do something positive to make Shabbos different. Shomer is in the negative sense that you shall guard Shabbos from being desecrated by not doing any of the works on Shabbos. So this is one principle that we have. And they were both said exactly simultaneously. Both were imprinted into the character of Shabbos, except when it came to write them in the Ten Commandments. So in the first commandments they were written Zohar, in the second commandments they were written Shomer. If we continue a little further, the Torah tells us, Al kein beirach Hashem eshem Hashabos vaikat shehu. because the Almighty worked in the creation for the 6 days. And on the seventh day he rested, therefore he blessed the day of Shabbos and he sanctified it. So again we see two things. He blessed Shabbos, Beirach, Brocho, and he sanctified it. By Katshehu, Kitche. So on this the sages ask also, what were the two things that he did? He blessed Shabbos and he sanctified Shabbos. How do you bless Shabbos and how do you sanctify Shabbos? Now blessing Shabbos means giving it something more than it did not have before. Giving it something that other days do not have. Sanctifying means elevating it, uplifting it beyond other days. So how did he do this? So Rashi brings, Baruch Baman, he gave it a brocha that other days do not have, a physical brocha. Every day has a brocha. Every day we find physical growth in the world. And every day when Yisrael were in the desert, they would go out and they would find the mon. This was their food in the desert, that the mon had come down from the heaven, and they would find it on the ground. They would take it home, and this would be sufficient for that day. On Shabbos, they found a double portion. This was for on Friday, but for Shabbos. Friday, when they went out into the field, there was not one portion, but two portions. One for Friday, and one for Shabbos. So we see Shabbos is blessed. It has a physical blessing that other days of the week do not have. Every day was blessed that it would bring forth one portion. Shabbos was blessed that it would bring forth a double portion. This is why when we make hametzi and the sudeis and our meals on Shabbos, we use lecha mishnah. We use two loaves of bread as a zechel amon to remember the miracle of the mon that a double portion came for Shabbos. So that was the brocha. By Katshehu, what was the sanctification? How was Shabbos elevated from other days? Kitshu b'mon, sheloha yeyirid bay. There was no mon on Shabbos. Every day there was mon in the field, the manna. On Shabbos there was nothing. But we said there was a double portion. The double portion came on Friday. But on Shabbos there was nothing. Why? Because Shabbos was elevated beyond this world. Every day belongs to this world. Therefore, since it belongs to this world, there were worldly blessings in every day. Shabbos is elevated, kitshu, beyond this world, so therefore there were no worldly blessings on that day. So, lohayyerid b'mon, there was no mon. That's how it was sanctified. But at the same time, it was given more blessing than the other days, so there was a double portion. But that portion fell on Friday for Shabbos. So this is what is meant, Alkein Beirach Hashem, that the Almighty blessed Shabbos by Katshehu, and he sanctified it. Now this also is something which seems a little contradictory, and something which needs more explanation. Now before going further, there is one principle that we have to make clear, and this is contrary to popular concept. Generally, if you'll ask anyone, why did the Almighty rest on the seventh day? See, he'll tell you, because he completed his work in the 6 days. He worked for 6 days and he finished his work. So on the seventh day he rested. This is how it would seem. The Maral in his Sefer Tveres Yisrael, in Perek Mem, says no, not so. It's not because he rested on the seventh day, because he finished his work in the 6 days. This would mean that if he finished his work in 5 days, he would have rested on the sixth day. If he finished his work in 7 days, he would have rested on the eighth day. The Medrash tells us, states, Vayechal Elokim Bayim Hashvi. The Almighty completed his work on the seventh day. This is what it says. Mechal Elokim Bayim Hashvi. So the Medrash asks, what does it mean he finished his work on the seventh day? He rested on the seventh day. He finished his work on the sixth day? So the Medrash in one interpretation says, he worked right up until the seventh day. And the minute the seventh day came, he stopped working. So he actually just touched the seventh day. Boser v'dom, when it comes to human beings, if we want to stop work on the seventh day, we cannot work up to the seventh day. We have to stop a few minutes before, because we cannot calculate and we cannot govern time and our actions with such exactness. But the Almighty that can do it exactly, see, he worked right to the seventh day and then stopped. And that's why it says, Vayachal Elokim Bayom Hashvi'i, that he completed his work on the seventh day. Now from here it implies that he worked and worked until the seventh day came. Then he stopped. So not because he finished his work, therefore he rested on the seventh day, but because the seventh day came, that's why he finished his work. And there's another source to this. The Mishnah in Masechet Avos states there were certain things that the Almighty created at the last minute of Friday. And they're kind of strange things, that they were created right at the last minute. One of the things mentioned is Boras HaShedim. The devils and the evil spirits he created Friday. See, the devil and the evil spirits he created Friday right before darkness. And it states, he speak legomra. He did not have a chance to complete them because the seventh day came. And therefore he hurried. See, he hurried to complete them before Shabbos. This is what the Mishnah Novice tells us. Ben Ashmos is Nivru Ashadim, Vele Hispik Legomram, Achikidishayom, Bekidishayom, Velogomram. Right before Shabbos, he was creating the devils and the evil spirits. He didn't have a chance to finish them. So he actually did not finish them. Shabbos came and he stopped. If we say that he completed his work, and this is why he rested on the seventh day, so then he should have, if he had more work to do, he should have continued with his work into the seventh day and rested on the eighth day. So from here we see, not like we usually think, that because he had no more work to do, therefore he rested on the seventh day. The Almighty wanted to rest on the seventh day. Therefore he made sure to complete his work in the sixth day. He made sure to limit all of the creation to 6 days in order that he could rest on the seventh day and sanctify the seventh day. This means that the seventh day is special in its own right. Now, in order to gain some insight into all of this, we have to understand what is special about the seventh day. There's a medrash also that tells us, Kol Hashvin Chavivin. Seven we find in the Torah consistently that it has a special character. Like we see by Shabbos, and we see the seventh year, and we see the seventh Shemitah, and the seventh month, and so forth. Seventh month is the month of Rosh Hashanah. Because the Almighty created the world in 6 days, we find, the Maral explains, that physical nature is linked to the dimension of six. Physical nature is linked to the dimension of six. And that's why, if you take a cube, which is the most complete object that we have in physical dimensions, you'll find that it has six sides, no more and no less. The maximum it can have is six sides. Because since creation was in 6 days, this means there are six dimensions to creation and no more. That's six. Therefore, Shabbos, the seventh day, is something which is beyond the Teva, beyond the nature, beyond natural creation. Now, we also know, well, this we've brought many times in the past, that there are some significance to other numbers also. For example, it states when the Almighty created the world to come, He created it with the letter Yud of His name, which represents 10. The world to come, that links itself to a number of 10. Or, for example, Torah and mitzvahs relates itself to the number of 8. We find many times. For example, the Bris Mila is on the 8th day. Or by Torah, many times, there are 8 sentences in Tehillim which constantly praise Torah. This is 8. This is a very deep concept. What does this mean? Physical world is 6. That was the creation, the 6 day. Sheshi Shemei Habreshis, the 6 days of creation. The world to come, which is a world completely beyond this world, that's beyond, that goes into the numbers of 10. Torah and mitzvahs, which is something that was not created in this world. Gemara tells us that Torah kodma esa olam. Torah has nothing to do with the creation. Why? Because it states that the Torah was created many, many generations before the creation of the world. Torah is the master plan of the creation of the world. But the Torah itself was created many generations before the world was created and comes from upper levels. So therefore, Torah cannot relate itself to the number of 6. And therefore, it belongs to this number of 8. So then what would be Shabbos? Shabbos is a midpoint. It's something which both is beyond the 6 dimensions of the creation of the world, and at the same time, it also links itself to the creation of the world. It's beyond the nature of the world, because we see that in 6 days the Almighty did all of the work of the creation. So it's beyond the creation of the world. But at the same time, it states, Vayachal Elokim Bayom HaShvi, that the Almighty completed the creation with Shabbos. Now the Medrash asks, what does it mean he completed the creation with Shabbos? He should have completed the creation before Shabbos. So the Medrash says, the world was chosar. After the 6 days of creation, the world still lacked. Mahoya chosar, what did the world lack? Chosar menucha. It lacked a Shabbos. It lacked a completion. It lacked a rest. Bo Shabbos, bo menucha. So Shabbos came, and the rest, the resting, the completion came to the world. So we see that this level of 7 is something which is beyond the actual nature of the world. The work of the nature was done during the 6 days. Therefore, it's above the world, but at the same time, it's part of the world. Because the Almighty included this in the creation of the world. He created the 6 days, and then He created the 7th day by resting on the 7th day. And it's part and parcel of the world. So if we would want to define it, what definition would we give to it? We would say that the nature of the world is under the dimension of 6. Torah, which is far above, is 8. The world to come is 10. What is 7? 7 is the dimension that is both part of this world and part of the next world. And it links the two together. And this is why the Gemara tells us that Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. That the day of Shabbos gives one an insight on this world into the world to come. It's not detached from this world completely, and it's not part and parcel of this world completely. But it's a link that binds the two chains together. That would be the seventh day. Now, that's why the Almighty chose to specifically finish his work in the 6 days in order that he could give a bracha to the seventh day. Because this was his plan. And the seventh day was special. So this is why he specifically completed his work in the 6 days in order to give his bracha and his sanctity to the seventh day. Not that just by coincidence he happened to finish on 6 days, therefore he rested on the seventh. No. Specifically, with a premeditation, he made sure to complete everything on 6 days. In order on the seventh day he shall sanctify. Now the Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabbah, Parshas Yud, and Osh Yud, Geniva v'Rabbonim. There was a sage by the name of Geniva and the Rabbonim, two sages, and they each wanted to describe what was Shabbos to the world. This that it states that the Almighty completed the world on the seventh day. This means then that the world wasn't complete on 6 days. Shabbos added something to it. What did Shabbos add to the world that the world didn't have before? So they have two opinions. Geniva Amar Moshul Melech. Geniva says, I'll give you an example of a king. Sha'osa lo chupa. He made himself a chupa. A chupa here means he made himself a beautiful home, a beautiful palace. And he decorated it, he painted it, okay, plastered it, made it beautiful. And when he looked at it, at the beautiful home that was completed, he said it's lacking something. What was it lacking? He said, kalo shetikonis lesecho. It was lacking a kalo, a wife. You have a beautiful home, beautiful palace, but without a kala, without a wife, it's empty. He didn't have a wife. Kach mahoya elam chosar. So was it with the Almighty. He made a beautiful palace. He made this world, and for 6 days he worked at it. And he created the shomayim, v'soretz, v'sayom, v'skol asher bom, the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that was in it. And then when he finished, he looked at it and said it was beautiful, but it's lacking something. It was lacking a kala, a bride. So therefore he made a bride. What was that bride? Shabbos. The seventh day he created Shabbos, and the home, the palace, had a bride. This is what Geniva says. Rabbonin Amri, Rabbonin say, we'll give another example. Moshe Lamelech, an example to a great king, Shosalei Tabas. He commissioned his royal jewelers to make himself a most magnificent ring. When they brought it to him, he looked at the ring, and here it was a magnificent ring with gold and rare stones, diamonds, value was unparalleled. But he said it's missing something. Mahoiso Hasera Chosen. It's missing the royal signet, the royal emblem. Kach Mahoyo Ha'elam Chosar. The Almighty worked for 6 days to make a beautiful, priceless world. And when he looked at it, he said, it's missing something. It's missing the royal emblem. So therefore he created it. He created Shabbos. According to Geneva, Shabbos is a kala, a bride. According to the Rabbonon, Shabbos is the sign of royalty, the royal emblem. So what's the explanation? If a person has a home, but there is no bride in the home, then the home is empty, and he doesn't come to the home. He's not attached to the home. Actually, the Medrash tells us in Parshas Bereishis that if people didn't have wives, so when they would go overseas, they wouldn't come back. They remember their wives, so they come back. This we see. We see single people. Single people will go overseas, and all of a sudden you hear from them that they found a good job. You don't see them anymore. But if a person left, even if he has a home here, he'll manage to dispose of it. But if he's got a wife, can't do that. So what does the wife represent? The wife represents ishabrus, ishaktus, attachment. Through a wife, a person becomes attached. No longer is he a drifter, a floater. Becomes attached. The king saw a great palace. No, he has other palaces. But if he puts in the palace a bride, then he becomes attached to it. This is what a kala represents. Kala represents togetherness, attachment. When the Almighty created a world, he said, such a beautiful world, but he says, I have no attachment to it. It's an empty castle. I have no attachment. Why? Because there's nothing to attach me to it. Why? Because the Almighty, He's spiritual. The world is physical. The 6 days of creation, it's all physical, and He's spiritual. She says, there's nothing to attach me to the world. She said, it needs a color. So He created Shabbos. Shabbos was the color. Just like the color, the bride, causes the king to become attached to his home, brings the king down into his home, so did Shabbos cause the Almighty to become attached to the world, brings the Almighty into the world. Why? Because Shabbos has a spiritual element in it. Without Shabbos, the world was secular, the world was whole, the world was merely physical. Shabbos gave it a spiritual flavor. If it's a spiritual flavor, so it brings now the Almighty can attach himself to it. Therefore, Geneva said, Shabbos is a color. Therefore, it says, "Vayechal Elokim bayom hashvi," the world was not complete after 6 days. Only after Shabbos was it complete. Otherwise, it would have been an empty castle. And we find, the Gemara tells us in Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Zayin, the Gemara says, Shabbos, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, the Gemara says, Shabbos is called the Kala. See, we say, Boy Chala, Boy Chala. The Rabbonon, they give a different example. They said, what would happen if a king would make a beautiful, magnificent ring? And his jeweler brings it to him, and he says, it's a magnificent, but there's something missing. What's missing? It's missing the chesed. It's missing my seal, the royal seal, the royal emblem. What does that mean? A ring can be the most precious ring in the world, but it's not a royal ring. It's a valuable ring, but it's not a royal ring. Anyone can have a valuable ring, but only the king can have the ring with his royal signet in it. So therefore he told his jeweler, it's a beautiful ring, but anyone can have that ring. Anyone who has enough money can buy that ring. It's not my ring. It doesn't represent the malchus. It doesn't represent the royalty. So therefore he said, place a signet. Place the emblem in the ring. What happens now? The ring becomes elevated. Before, the ring was a ring. Now it's a royal ring. It becomes elevated. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say. Created a beautiful world. This is a beautiful world. But what makes it my world? Where do I have my stamp on it? My emblem? There we have to place into the nature of the world a seal, a royal seal, my royal seal. Therefore he created Shabbos. Shabbos gave the world an identification of the Almighty's royalty. And now the world was elevated to become the Almighty's. The Gemara in Baba Kama that I quoted states that they called Shabbos by two names. They called it Shabbos Kalo, and they also would call it Malka, the queen. These were the two dimensions. It was a bride and it was a queen. Now each dimension, though, fulfilled a different function. The bride, that brings the king into the palace, that brought the Almighty into the world. The royal seal, this elevates the ring to become royal, elevates the ring to be to the king. The queen of Shabbos, this caused the world to elevate itself to the Almighty. In other words, we're speaking about two dimensions here. And this is the link. It was a two-way link. The Almighty wanted to bind the world to him, and he wanted to bind himself to the world. He wanted to uplift the world, and he wanted to bring also the higher powers of the Spirit into the world. And this Shabbos did. And this is what we refer to, that Shabbos was the number 7 which was able to do that. So therefore Shabbos had these two dimensions. It was a kala. It was no longer an empty world that was just secular, but it had a bride in it, which Hashem therefore could attach himself to the world. This brought Hashem close to the world. This created a togetherness with him. And on the other hand, it was not merely a world that did not have a royal emblem. He gave it a royal emblem through Shabbos. Shabbos is also a queen. And this elevated the world to him. Before it was not royal, now it became royal. These are the two dimensions. Now this is the dual personality and the dual character that we were referring to. Really, both of these are actually opposite to each other. Why? Because if you take something that, and you make it royal, that actually elevates itself and makes it distant from the person. If something is not royal, then anybody can have it. Once it becomes royal, then only royalty can have it, only the king can have it. So that elevates a person, that elevates this and separates it from a person and makes it distant. On the other hand, the whole concept of a bride is attachment. So really, these are two forces that are working contrary to each other. And this is the dual character of Shabbos. We see in Shabbos two things. We see when Shabbos comes, we have to be careful. It's Shabbos. It's like we're walking in a dimension of royalty. We have to be very careful. Must be very careful not to do something on Shabbos that you're not allowed to do, otherwise you'll desecrate it. Must be very careful how you walk on Shabbos and how you speak on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is royal. Shabbos is a queen. It's distant from us. And this is the leisasiko malocha. We must not do any types of works on Shabbos to desecrate it. Because it's royal. It belongs to the Almighty. And this is the shomor. Guard Shabbos carefully. If you come into a palace, you must be very careful. You come into the presence of the king, you must be very careful. Shomor eshem haShabbos lekatshoy. Guard Shabbos carefully. Belongs to the king. See, this is the element of royalty. This is the element of sacredness, that it's elevated and it's distant from man. At the same time, though, we see Shabbos comes a time when it's a mitzvah to remember the Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to love Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to be misaneg b'Shabbos, to enjoy Shabbos, to indulge in Shabbos. This is not the way a person acts when he comes close to the king. So this is the other concept in Shabbos. That Shabbos is a kalah. And the kalah brings the person close, creates closeness and attachment. And this is the zohar. Something nice, save it for Shabbos so you'll enjoy it on Shabbos. Talk about Shabbos because it's special. It's something close to you. So Shabbos has both of these forces. It's something which is distant from us. Every day we don't care what we do, but on Shabbos we must be careful. And on the other hand, it's something, it's a time to enjoy yourself. It's a mitzvah to enjoy oneself on Shabbos. Because it's close to us. Now both of these forces are contrary. And therefore, Shabbos kol inyonei kofel. All of Shabbos we find double. Has two contrary forces in one unit and simultaneously. When the Almighty said it, He said it simultaneously. And that's zohar. Remember Shabbos, bring it close to you, and shomor, be careful. Shabbos is something which is above you. And this explains Al Kein Beirach Eshem HaShabbos, the Almighty blessed Shabbos by Katshehu when He sanctified it. To bless it means that he came close to it. Blessing comes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes close to something. When Shechina comes close, there's Brocha. He came close to Shabbos, and therefore He blessed it. Therefore there was more mon on Shabbos, for Shabbos, than any other day. It had more physical blessing than any other day. Because He came close to Shabbos. Because Shabbos is a color. It brought the Almighty into the world. He comes closer to the world on Shabbos than any other day. Therefore there's more physical brocha for Shabbos than any other day. Borchu b'mon. There was a double portion. And we signify this by having a double portion of lechem, of bread. By katshehu, at the same time He sanctified Shabbos. He elevated it. He separated it and He made it distant. How? Kitche b'mon. That on Shabbos no mon fell. Why? Because this, that mon falls, that means it's from this world. No, Shabbos is from a different world. This that we can work all week is because the days belong to this world. But on Shabbos it belongs to a different world. We cannot desecrate it with work. With work of the creation. See? Then it takes something else. So Kitche B'mon, He sanctified it. No mon came. See? So again we have there the dual character which is contrary to each other. But the Almighty did both. That's why on Shabbos we find both spiritual forces and physical forces in Shabbos. Where do we find that? For example, like we mentioned, in Shabbos is the physical bracha. Medrash brings in Parshas Yud Aleph, the Medrash says, in Parshas Yud Aleph Dalet Omar Rav Hanina Bar Abba Pamachas Zimnani Odemecho Belutkayo. One time I was traveling and I came to a city called Lutkayo, and it was Shabbos and I needed a place to stay, so I was invited there by a man. Efil Lefaneinu Diuskus Echod Tein B'yud Vav Mutais. When it came time to eat at night, all of a sudden, all kind of servants come into the room carrying a table with 16 staves. It was such a table that 16 staves it took to carry in this table. Uboy mikol mashe nivra b'shesh mebreshes. And on this table was everything that you could find in the world. All the good foods possible. And he had a little child sitting on the table also, who would keep say, who would call out that everything belongs to the Almighty. And this, the balabos, the owner of the house, did this in purpose in order that he shouldn't become too arrogant. He'll see this great wealth, he's liable to become arrogant. Wealth brings arrogance. So he had this child would say, everything belongs to the Almighty. So I asked this man, my son, all bema yofe shohayisi reya kolime isa Shabbos hayisi mafrish le Shabbos. Every time I would see a beautiful animal, I would set that aside for Shabbos. Amati lei, lei almogen zochiso. So I said to him, it was not for nothing that you became so wealthy. And then the Medrash brings Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yesi Shail Rabbi. Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi, this is an Eish Gimel, B'nei Bovel B'shus Mayin Chayim. Bovel was the great Torah center of this time. The Talmud was written in Bovel. So he said, why do people in Bovel live a long life? B'shus HaTorah. So he answered, because they learn Torah. So much Torah was learnt in Bovel, so therefore they lived a long life. He said, B'nei Eretz Yisrael B'shus Ma. The people of Eretz Yisrael, at that time Eretz Yisrael, that was after the Churban, the destruction, so Eretz Yisrael was not a Torah center. So he said, why do we find some people live so long in Eretz Yisrael? He said, B'shus Maestros. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there was the mitzvah that when you harvested the crops, a tenth of the crops you had to give to the Levi. So in that schus, through that merit, they gained life. So what about the people in the other lands? Well, they didn't have Torah. And they didn't have the maestros. Why do we find people live a long time? So he said, in the schus that they give honor to Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we see that Shabbos gives physical bracha. Gives wealth, it gives years. Why? Because Shabbos, the Kala, brought the Almighty into this world. On Shabbos, he comes into this world. He comes closer. If he comes closer, then there has to be Brocha. Wherever there's Shechina, there's Brocha. At the same time, we see there's great spiritual forces in Shabbos. The Medrash tells us, Borchu be'or ponov. On Shabbos, the shine, the radiance of a person's face is greater than during the week. And that's a sign of his neshama. The Gemara says the or ponov, the radiance of a person's face, comes from his soul. And the Gemara tells us in Masechet Beitzer, and after Zayin, nefesh yaseira. On Shabbos a person has a greater portion of his soul. So we see spiritual forces. Why is that? Because Shabbos, the seventh day, is elevated beyond this world. And if it's elevated, a person's soul is elevated, he gains a greater portion of spirit and a greater aura, a greater radiance on his face. So this is the dual character of Shabbos, where it links this world to the next world, both ways. And therefore we have Shomer v'Zochor, guard the Shabbos, and remember the Shabbos. And therefore we have the Almighty bless the Shabbos to give it a double portion of Mon, and sanctify the Shabbos where there was no Mon. We have both of these forces on Shabbos. Now Shabbos is especially close to Klal Yisrael. The Almighty came and he said, Matona Tova Yesh Li B'Beis Kenosov, I have a great gift for you Yisrael in my treasure house. And its name is Shabbos. We see that it's specifically related to Yisrael. The Medrash states in Bereishis Rabba Perek Yud Aleph that Shabbos came to the Almighty with a complaint. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, creator of the world, every day you gave a partner to. Sunday you gave Monday, Tuesday you gave Wednesday, Thursday you gave Friday. But to me, you left without a zug. You left me without a partner. You left me alone. Why? So the Almighty answered him, Omala Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kinesis Yisrael Yeh Ben Zugoch. Israel will be your partner. Israel will be your mate. Kiven Sha'om Di Yisrael HaSinai, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zichra HaDover Shamati LeShabbos Kines Yisrael Ben Zucho Hayinu D'Ksiv Zocher Shem HaShabbos LeKadshoy. When Klal Yisrael stood on Har Sinai, so the Almighty says, I remember the promise I made to Shabbos, that Shabbos does not have a mate. You remember Shabbos all the time, you will be its mate. Now why did the Almighty give anyone a mate? Because the person was chosar, he was not complete. And his particular mate would complement him and make him complete. So the fact that Shabbos is the mate of Klal Yisrael, we see that Shabbos complements and perfects Yisrael. Only Yisrael. Just like a person cannot take a mate that was determined for someone else, it wouldn't do him any good. Shabbos was the mate, was the partner that was set aside for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the greatest specific time for Yisrael, for their perfection, is Shabbos. Therefore we see Shabbos is something which is very close to Klal Yisrael, and it's something that we must guard very carefully. I'd just like to quote one or two halachos from the Rambam in regards to Shabbos. I need the other chelikim's money. The Rambam in Hilchos Zmanim, Hilchos Shabbos, in various prokim such as Perek Chof Dalet, Chof Tes, Perek Lamed, we're all familiar that we're not supposed to desecrate Shabbos with work. But in general, the whole nature of a person's conduct in Shabbos must be different. It's supposed to be different than other days. We'll just quote a few examples. Mitzvah Esei Min HaTorah. Lekadish Hashem HaShabbos B'dvorim. We must sanctify Shabbos with words. As it states, Zoche Hashem HaShabbos L'katshoi. You should remember Shabbos and sanctify it. Klema Zochreu Zechir HaShabbos V'kirush. Remember Shabbos with words. This is why, as mentioned, the Rambam says we make Kiddush when Shabbos comes in, and we make Havdolah when Shabbos goes out. And this way we're fulfilling the distinction of Shabbos with words. Anytime a person distinguishes Shabbos with words, he's fulfilling that mitzvah. Kiddush is just one of the ways to fulfill it. That's the way the Chachomim told us to do it, by making Kiddush over wine. But any time you distinguish Shabbos with words, you're fulfilling that mitzvah. Rabbi Kiveger, one of the great Gaonim, writes that if you say Shabbat Tavo, if you give someone good Shabbos, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Zohar. If you greet someone on Shabbos by saying good day, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. But instead of saying good day, you say good Shabbos, you have distinguished this day from other days. You have elevated this day and you have made it different than other days with words. You have fulfilled the mitzvah of Zohar. Zohar Hashem HaShabbos. Remember Shabbos with words and sanctify it. In Perekhov Dalet, the Rambam brings, there are some things which we are commanded to do on Shabbos, or commanded not to do on Shabbos, even though they are not actually acts of work. Because it states in the Prophet, you shall not aseis chafotzecha b'yem kotshi, you shall not do your requirements on my holy day. You should honor Shabbos in what you pursue and in the way you speak. Therefore, also lodom lahalech bechafetzim b'Shabbos. A person is not supposed to walk on Shabbos, even though he might not be doing anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with walking, but he's not supposed to walk on Shabbos to see what kind of business he can do, or to look at his fields, or to look at his house to see what has to be done. Because the Almighty said, Shabbos, you should look after my needs, not your needs. Or he shouldn't walk up the street to look at a few houses to see if there's a good buy, even though technically he's doing nothing wrong. Because the Almighty said, Shabbos is my day. Do not go after your own needs on Shabbos. Or, for example, when a person speaks on Shabbos, he should speak in a way which he doesn't speak during the week. He shouldn't speak empty talk, meaningless gossip, or about things which are insignificant. Same thing when he walks. His walking should be different on Shabbos. His speaking should be different on Shabbos. His conduct should be different on Shabbos. All of this goes into the adding of the sacredness and the honor to the day. This is all regarding if it's for his own sake. If it's for the sake of mitzvah, then he's allowed to. He's allowed to walk, to do mitzvahs. He's allowed to talk about mitzvahs. That's why it's brought that they would come in shuls and they would raise money in shul, make appeals, pledges for money, for the needs of the poor, or the needy, and so forth. See, for mitzvahs it's all right. But for your own pursuits, you must not, even if technically you're not doing any type of work, You're not supposed to seek your own pursuits on Shabbos. Then the Rambam brings in Perek Lamed. He says, "Mitzvah says in Minatera Lekadish Yisro Shabbos Bidvorim." No, excuse me. He brings in Perek Lamed that we're obligated to remember Shabbos, guard Shabbos. We're obligated also to enjoy Shabbos, that's a mitzvah, and to honor Shabbos. See, to enjoy Shabbos and honor Shabbos. How do we honor Shabbos? He says, for example, to bathe in honor of Shabbos. You fulfill a mitzvah. To dress up in nice clothing for Shabbos. If you go around in the same clothing on Shabbos that you do during the week, then you're failing to honor Shabbos. This is a mitzvah. To be ready to meet the Shabbos and to greet the Shabbos. This is a mitzvah. He brings Chachomim Rishonim HaYimiskatzim Tamidein Be'erev Shabbos U'misatfim Bro'imim Bo'i V'neitzei Likra Shabbos HaMelech. The early sages used to gather their Talmidim, their disciples, and they used to go out before Shabbos would come, before dark. This is why we make Kabbalah Shabbos. It should be before dark. And they would go out and they would say, let us, they would be all dressed and say, let us go meet, greet the Shabbos. Malbush Chol ki Malbush HaShabbos. That you should not dress in the way that you dress during the week. You shouldn't make a party Erev Shabbos. To make festivities Erev Shabbos and a party, this is not honoring Shabbos. Because then when Shabbos comes, you won't have an appetite. When you eat Shabbos, it should not be the type of food that you eat during the week. It should be special. You should set your table on Shabbos in a way that you do not set it during the week. You should fix up the house on Shabbos that is nicer than during the week. And afal pi she'arav b'choshev b'yeser, and even though he's a very important individual, still he should do things for Shabbos, even though generally he won't do such a thing. For example, it brings that if a person never shops, he never goes to shop, to go shopping for Shabbos, that's an honor for Shabbos, it's not a disgrace. Or, for example, Chachom Rishonim, the early sages, some of them would chop wood for the fire on Shabbos. Others would cook, or salt the meat, or make candles for Shabbos. Others would go out into the market to buy things for Shabbos, even though they would never do this during the week. And the more effort one does in this vein, the more praiseworthy he is. And so is it, the Rambam says, is it a mitzvah that one must enjoy Shabbos. One must see to it that the foods that he eats are more enjoyable on Shabbos than during the week. And whoever spends more for Shabbos, that he'll have more enjoyment, he is praiseworthy. And he should spend in accordance to his means. Achilas bosesh tiyas yayin b'Shabbos ein kuloy. Person to eat meat and drink wine, he fulfills the mitzvah. So forth. Also we find that a person is not allowed to do things therefore on Shabbos that will disturb his enjoyment. See, must not do things on Shabbos that will disturb one's enjoyment. Therefore, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. You're not allowed to cry on Shabbos. You're not allowed to appeal to the Almighty on Shabbos too much. That's why in our tefillos we abbreviate many of the tefillos that we say during the week, because Shabbos is not a time to make personal appeals to the Almighty. It will disturb one's enjoyment. Now, Shabbos is something, therefore, that one has to guard very, very carefully. And the brochas of Shabbos are merubah, are tremendous. Unfortunately, the Shabbos, ever since the Jews were uprooted from Europe during the Holocaust, so in many great ways, Shabbos has become forgotten and is not kept the way it was kept. And not only does this bring a lack of brachas into the house, which Shabbos has the power to do, but tragically, in today's environment, where we see a total breakdown of the home and of the family unit, Shabbos had a tremendous byproduct. It united the family, because during the week everybody's busy, everybody's running. Shabbos was the time they weren't allowed to run, they had to take it easy, so they came together. So tragically, now's the time that we need Shabbos more than ever, when we see the entire dismantling, see, of the home unit, of the family unit. And therefore it's something that must be guarded very, very carefully. Now many people will tell you, but I cannot keep Shabbos. I'm in circumstances where I cannot keep Shabbos. See. Now we're not justifying not keeping Shabbos. But what one must be aware, that even if one finds himself, and today unfortunately people are not brought up that way, or people find themselves in difficult circumstances, if one does find himself in circumstances where he feels he cannot keep Shabbos, there are still many, many things that he can do to keep Shabbos. Many, many things. For example, in regards to the Shomer, that you must guard Shabbos, not to desecrate it with work. Even if a person finds himself that he cannot get out of work on Shabbos, there's many ways he can. For example, if a person says, look, I have a job and I must go, otherwise I'll lose my job. Alright. But what about when he comes home from work? Then he doesn't have to work. Then he can keep Shabbos. That has nothing to do with watching television on Shabbos, or taking the family for a drive on Shabbos, or going to a soccer match or other sport on Shabbos. Person tells you, I have a job, I must work, I can't get out of work. All right. But not these other things. So in general, a person must carefully examine that if he feels there's things that he must do, but that's a justification then. And what he must do for himself, it's a justification, but not for things that he doesn't have to do. You have people that they do go to shul, but they drive. Walk. You have people who jog for miles during the week. Okay. When it comes to shul, take the family and walk. Then a person also should realize that even if he's in a position where he feels he's forced to do work, there are many ways that he can make that work where it's a lesser of a desecration of Shabbos. And this he should speak to a Rav, and he can tell him. For example, many things that a person must do, if he does it through a goy, it's not the desecration. Let's say if a person must go to work and he has to drive. See, if he does it through a goy, he won't be desecrating Shabbos at that gravity, in that level. Many people can organize that a non-Jewish chauffeur could pick them up and drive them to work. Or even if a person would take a bus, then he's not doing the driving himself. Many times, in work, at one's work himself, there are many things he can have done through non-Jews for him. Or there are many types of work that if they're done not in a normal manner, do not have the gravity of the desecration that if they would be done in the normal manner. So if a person tries to keep Shabbos, there's a great amount that he can do, even if he'll find himself in a position where he cannot keep it completely. That's in regards to guarding Shabbos. Another thing also, Gemara brings that there's a great difference between someone who will desecrate Shabbos publicly and someone who will do it privately. So these people who have to do things, they should try to do it privately, not publicly. And there are many ways that a person, this way, it doesn't have to be such a blatant, rejection of Shabbos. The same thing when it comes to Zohar. Remembering Shabbos to distinguish it. That everyone can do. For example, this, that there should be the nature, the flavor of Shabbos in the home. And this is a tremendous influence on the children. That the home should be prepared for Shabbos. That the day is distinguished. That there's kiddush in the house. That there's special food for Shabbos. That a person puts on special clothing for Shabbos. A person prepares for Shabbos. He goes to shul on Shabbos. His conversation, now this has nothing to do if he has to work or not, we're talking now in the home. If he comes home from work. Or Friday night. The conversation in the home is a Dibur Shel Shabbos, is a different conversation. The walking is different walking. Like we mentioned, that Shabbos becomes distinguished. So unfortunately, tragically, people will tell you that, look, I cannot keep Shabbos, I must work, I have a business or I'm employed. But meanwhile, in the house, there's no difference in the house than any other time of the week. They bring in the same rubbish from the television and the videos during on Shabbos. And the conversation is the same thing during the week. And the meals are the same. The Shabbos, the home is supposed to be transformed, and this has effect on the entire Shabbos and the children. So there's a tremendous amount, there's a tremendous flexibility that even if a person feels he cannot keep Shabbos completely, there's still plenty of Shabbos that he could keep. Without getting in trouble with his employer, with his business, or with anything else that might be very difficult to deal with. And then I'll tell you one other thing. If a person does that, he'll find that he's keeping more of Shabbos all of the time. Because Shabbos is such a force, and such a brocha, that it states that just like a person guards the Shabbos, Shabbos guards the person. And this we've seen many times. People start with a little thing, and then they go a little further and a little further. And this brings tremendous brocha to the person. So this is the matona gedola, the great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael. It was the color of the world, what brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, and it was the chosen, the royal emblem of the world, where it elevated the world to Him. In other words, the Almighty said that the world without a Shabbos, that's a world that's distant from Him. That's an empty palace. That's just a ring without any royal identification. And this Shabbos He gave to Klal Yisrael. He says, this is your perfection. You are the ones that elevate the world. And you are the ones that bring me into the world. And this is the great gift that I gave to you. So this is the Zohar Mitzvah of Zohar to remember Shabbos and bring it close, and to guard it Shabbos because it's so elevated. This was given simultaneously in the Aseres Hadibros and the Ten Commandments. We should be zeicher to taste from the goodness of Shabbos and all of the brachos that it brings to Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.